Washington, WKO Washington, WRQS
Obamacare HD2,
Washington.
Shut down, hush money claim. I'm Barton Eckert. A federal judge in Texas sided with 20 states that argued a change in tax law last year eliminating the penalty for not having health insurance invalidates the Affordable Care Act. The Obamacare decision will likely be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. The White House dismissed accusations from President Trump's former fixer that Trump directed hush money payments to two women during the presidential campaign to buy their silence about alleged affairs. Michael Cohen told ABC News' George Stephanopoulos the president directed him to make payments to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal.
I gave loyalty to someone who truthfully does not deserve loyalty.
He was trying to hide what you were doing, correct?
Correct.
And he knew it was wrong?
Of course.
A bill filed in the upcoming Texas state legislative session targets college students accused of sexual assault. Correspondent Clayton Neville says the bill is intended to prevent students from withholding information that may have prompted a transfer.
State Representative Chris Turner says House Bill 449 would require a university to make a notation on a student's transcript if the student is suspended or expelled,
so that a future university or college that the student may apply to is aware.
A former Baylor University fraternity president was reprimanded this week by the University of Texas at Dallas after the school learned he was accused of rape in 2016 and entered a plea deal in the case. UTD officials say they weren't aware of the student's legal history when he transferred. Clayton Neville, Dallas.
Stocks staggered to 8-month lows after weak economic data from China and Europe set off more worries about the global economy. S&P lost 51 on Friday. The Dow retreated 496 points. NASDAQ slid 159. I'm Barton Eckert.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your own 30-day bottle. When you text the word BACK to 797979, finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone to help you be the man you want to be. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. To try your 30-day bottle, just text BACK to 797979. Text BACK to 797979.
It's been 1 year since a pipe bomb was set off in a subway passageway in New York. Now police are testing out a new security measure in that location, a metal detector. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum tells us more.
On any given workday, people take more than 5.5 million rides on the New York City subway. You can rush down to a platform relatively quickly, but now the NYPD is trying out a pilot program that could slow some folks down. They put a metal detector near the subway entrance by the Port Authority bus terminal in Manhattan. Police officers are picking out people at random to pass through the metal detector before being allowed to enter the subway. Officials described it as a security overlay, and they don't envision every single passenger having to pass through one someday, but random metal detector checks could expand system-wide. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
Big losses on Wall Street on Friday. The Dow slid 496, S&P down 51, NASDAQ down 159. I'm Barton Eckert.
Attention timeshare owners. Did some high-pressure salesperson twist your arm into buying a timeshare? Did they forget to mention that the vacation times you want will never be available, or that it will cost you more to use the timeshare than if you just booked online as a non-owner? I bet that salesperson also forgot to mention your fees will go up year after year after year. They misled you. It's not right, and it's not your fault. Whether you bought decades ago or days ago, we can help. Timeshare Freedom Group's Freedom Process has helped thousands of people get out of unwanted timeshares. Let us help you be free from your regrettable, overpriced, and unavailable timeshare. We are the leaders in the industry with decades of experience canceling timeshares worldwide legally and permanently. That's why we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Start the freedom process now by calling Timeshare Freedom Group at 888-60-CANCEL. That's 888-60-CANCEL. 888-60-CANCEL. Or come meet us face-to-face at your local office. TimeshareFreedomGroup.com.
Use extra caution on the roadways this morning. We've got rainy conditions and wet pavement, so use caution. A couple of accidents to report. We have an accident now westbound on 66 at the Fairfax County Parkway in the left lane. An accident activity in Springfield on southbound 95 at the Springfield-Franconia exit, now confined to the right shoulder. And we do have a disabled vehicle southbound 270 at Montrose Road along the right side of that ramp. Not causing a delay, but use extra caution. I'm Michelle Murray.
Sundays on WMAL, starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, it's The Chris McKay Show. At 6, it's Savvy Investor Radio. And at 6:30, Chris McKay returns. Listen for Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens at 7. Then at 8, it's The Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. And at 8:30, Senior Solutions. Hear The Wise Investor at 9, The Underwriter's Corner at 11. Later, hear Real Estate Today at 7 p.m., The Do-It-Yourself Investor at 9, followed by Real Estate Now at 9:30 on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Retirement Key Radio, unlocking the secrets to a successful retirement.
Saturday afternoons at 2 on WMAL.
At MGM National Harbor, we're making free money a reality with cold hard cash. From December 1st to March 1st, win up to $10,000 in cash every Friday and entries to win the top prize of $100,000 in cold hard cash. Just swipe your MLife Rewards card and you're in. Every day is monumental at MGM National Harbor when you have another chance to win.
Person must be 21 and cannot be on the Maryland exclusion list. Please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.com or call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add 4G LTE backup and one voice line. Switch before December 21st and get a $300 prepaid card, too. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 12/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
Is your will updated? And do you have a good basic estate plan in place so your family is protected just in case? Listen this Saturday morning at 9 on WMAL to Legally Speaking, where attorney Mike Collins will answer any question you may have about wills or estate planning. That's Legally Speaking, Saturday at 9. To learn more, log on to WMAL.com and search Legally Speaking. That's WMAL.com. Search Legally Speaking.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM.
At AM 630.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. It is good to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler. And if you went to Happy Hour a little early on Friday, you missed three really big stories. And we'll get into them for you this morning. Obamacare has been ruled illegal by a judge in Texas. Mick Mulvaney is the acting chief of staff at the White House. The president has made that announcement via Twitter late Friday afternoon. And Elizabeth Warren, speaking on Friday, says she is not a person of color. And there is more news. That's not the only stuff we're going to cover this morning, but those are three of the headlines you might have missed if you checked out early on Friday. First off, President Trump did announce that he had selected Mick Mulvaney, who is the budget director, OMB. Mulvaney will serve as the acting White House chief of staff, which puts a halt, at least for the moment, on the consideration of possible candidates. In Mick Mulvaney, the New York Times points out that Mr. Trump made a safe choice for a Republican administration, a hardline conservative and former congressman from South Carolina with a deep understanding of how Congress works and a personal chemistry with the president. Among some senior White House officials, Mr. Mulvaney had long been considered the original Plan B, a rather positive paragraph describing Mick Mulvaney in the New York Times, as opposed to the headline in the Washington Post, The Fix. This is how the Post puts it. Any chief of staff for President Trump is set up to fail. Such a positive incoming welcome from Mick Mulvaney from the Washington Post. Part of the reason for that, of course, is that the Post has, over two dozen reporters out to attack the Trump administration. Maybe that's part of the reason that Mulvaney will be set up to fail, according to the Washington Post. Maybe newspaper give him a chance. But anyway, so here's how it went down. President Trump tweet, quote, "I am pleased to announce that Mick Mulvaney, director of the Office of Management and Budget, will be named acting White House Chief of Staff, replacing General John Kelly, who has served our country with distinction. Mick has done an outstanding job while in the administration." So, that is the word on Mick Mulvaney. Now, today is the last day to sign up for Obamacare in 2018, of course, the Affordable Health Care Act. Well, a federal judge in Texas has ruled that the ACA is, quote, invalid. It was a 55-page opinion. It's been issued by U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor, ruling yesterday that the tax cut bill last year knocked the constitutional foundation out from under Obamacare. It eliminated the penalty for not having coverage. Now, supporters of the law said, of course, they will immediately appeal. The White House applauding the judge's ruling, but said the law does remain in place while appeals proceed. The president tweeted that Congress should pass a new law. 20 Republican-led states brought the lawsuit. After Trump ordered the Justice Department to stop defending the health care law, a coalition of Affordable Care Act supporting states took up the defense. O'Connor is a conservative Republican appointee who previously had blocked other Obama-era policies. Now, that's one of the stories that we're on top of this morning. Now, you heard all the controversy back and forth with Senator Elizabeth Warren, and you remember that DNA analysis that was done by a Stanford University professor. Well, on Friday, U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren admitted she is not, quote, a person of color. It was a speech to a group of largely African-American students on Friday. And, of course, she's still dealing with that fallout from the claim that she had made about Native American ancestry. She said, "I am not a person of color, and I haven't lived your life or experienced anything like the subtle prejudice or more overt harm that you may have experienced just because of the color of your skin." She was speaking to about 500 students at Morgan State University. Now, you remember she released the DNA analysis that she said provided evidence that she does have Native American heritage. And the analysis was done by a Stanford University professor. And the New England Genealogical Society had found an 1894 document that suggested Warren's great-great-great-grandmother was at least partially Native American, which would make Warren 132nd Native American. Now, that was in the 1894 document. But the DNA analysis indicated Warren is at best 1/512th, but possibly only 1/1024th Native American. So anyway, more fallout for Elizabeth Warren, probably getting that out of the way before she runs in 2020. It is 6:14. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and we've got a great lineup for you this morning. Of course, we'll be talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. We'll be talking with John Gizzi, Cheryl Atkinson, Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times. Also, we'll talk with James Trusty. You've seen him a lot on Fox News recently. Former chief of the organized crime section of the United States Department of Justice. He's a prosecutor. We're going to talk to him about all the Michael Cohen news this week. But first, Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
A couple of accidents to watch out for this morning so far. Westbound on 66 at the Fairfax County Parkway, the left lane blocked with a wreck. The earlier accident southbound 95 at the Springfield-Franconia exit, though, that has been cleared. We're seeing some slow traffic and reports of an accident southbound on DC 295 at Pennsylvania Avenue. earlier accident on southbound 270 at Montrose Road has been cleared, and the volume of traffic so far is light on 270 from Germantown to the Beltway, and the Beltway light volume headed through Prince George's, Montgomery County, and Virginia. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Got heavy rains continuing around the Washington area this weekend, and a flood watch is in effect today. And it's not too bad outside right now, temperature-wise at least. It's a kind of a balmy 49 degrees, but the rains will continue. High of 52 this afternoon. Rain tomorrow with a high of 47. Sunshine on Monday with a high of 50. Tuesday, sunny with a high of 42. Partly cloudy on Wednesday, high of 46. 49 outside in Washington, going up to 52. And we're at 6:16 on the Saturday Morning Update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
And it is the Saturday Morning Update, and wow, what an interesting week. Of course, you saw Chuck and Nancy and Donald getting together in the Oval Office, a rather wild meeting. And if you missed this, just a couple of quick clips. You know, people were busy during the week. They might not have caught this, and we'll put a couple of the, a little bit longer clips so that you get a sense of what went down as opposed to just like a five-second soundbite. So a couple of clips from the Oval Office, and then we'll get into the Michael Cohen interview because there's so much going on this week. So here's Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Donald Trump. The setting is the Oval Office. Donald said, "Let the cameras roll."
One thing that I do have to say is tremendous amounts of wall have already been built, and a lot of wall when you include the renovation of existing fences and walls. We've renovated a tremendous amount, and we've done a lot of work in San Diego. We're building new walls right now, and we've right next to San Diego, we've completed a major section of wall, and it's really worked well. So a lot of wall has been built. We don't talk about that, but we might as well start because it's being built right now, big sections of wall, and we will continue that. One way or the other, it's going to get built. I'd like not to see a government closing, a shutdown. We will see what happens over the next short period of time, but the wall is a very important thing to us. I might put it a different way. Border security is extremely important. And we have to take care of border security. When you look at what happened with the caravans, with the people, with a lot of, we shut it down. We had no choice. We shut it down. But it could be a lot easier if we had real border security.
So that's the president speaking, of course. Nancy Pelosi had a response to President Trump, the setting the Oval Office.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity to meet with you so that we can work together in a bipartisan way to meet the needs of the American people. I think the American people recognize that we must keep government open, that a shutdown is not worth anything, and that you should not have a Trump shutdown. You have the White House, the Trump shutdown. You have the White House. You have the Senate. You have the House of Representatives. You have the vote. You should pass it.
No, we don't have the vote, Nancy, because in the Senate we need 60 votes.
No, but in the House.
And we don't have.
You could bring it up right now.
Yeah, but I can't. Excuse me. But I can't get it passed in the House if it's not going to pass in the Senate. I don't want to waste time.
Well, the fact is you can get it started that way.
The House we can get passed very easily.
Okay,
and we do.
But
the problem is the Senate, because we need 10 Democrats to vote,
they
won't
vote. That's not the point, Mr. President. The point is that there are equities to be weighed. And we're here to have a conversation in a prayerful way, so I don't think we should have a debate in front of the press on this. But the fact is the House Republicans could bring up this bill, if they had the votes, immediately and set the tone for what you want.
So that gives you a sense of the back and forth, and you heard the cameras clicking in the background. And it went on for a good while, and Chuck Schumer chimed in there. And this is Cut 15. This is good. I was going to move on, but we can't miss Chuck Schumer. We have to give him a little bit of recognition as well, the senator from New York. Here's Chuck Schumer responding to the president.
Chuck, did you want to say something?
Yeah, here's what I want to say. We have a lot of disagreements here. The Washington Post today gave you a whole lot of Pinocchios because they say you constantly misstate how much the wall is built, how much of the wall is built, and how much is there. But that's not the point here. We have a disagreement about the wall,
Washington Post,
whether it's effective or whatever. Not on border security, but on the wall.
That's a sense. It went back and forth. So if you missed that, that's a little sample of it. All right, so we move on to Michael Cohen and George Stephanopoulos. Now, you know, there's all the talk of Cohen and his plea bargaining and pleading guilty to a campaign finance violation that a lot of people say, probably not a campaign finance violation, but he went ahead and pled guilty to it anyway. So what we have with George Stephanopoulos is a very interesting interview because it struck me that he asked a number of leading questions when he actually got into it with Cohen. And we're going to feature a little bit of a segment of the leading questions. But for starters, we'll just give you a sample of George Stephanopoulos. And he's talking here with Michael Cohen. This is a quote-unquote ABC exclusive.
He's saying very clearly that he never directed you to do anything wrong. Is that true?
I don't think there's anybody that believes that. First of all, nothing at the Trump Organization was ever done unless it was run through Mr. Trump. He directed me, as I said in my allocution, and I said as well in the plea, he directed me to make the payments. He directed me to become involved in these matters, including the one with McDougal, which was really between him and David Pecker, and then David Pecker's counsel. I just reviewed the documents in order to protect him. I gave loyalty to someone who truthfully does not deserve loyalty.
Now, remember that Michael Cohen is in deep, deep water for problems that he had with the taxi commission and also a slight tax evasion problem where he owes about $1 million in taxes. So keep that in mind as you listen to Michael Cohen.
I will tell you that the gentleman that is sitting now in the Oval Office, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, is not the Donald Trump that I remember from Trump Tower. He's a very different individual.
What's happened to him?
I think the pressure of the job is much more than what he thought it was going to be. It's not like the Trump Organization where he would bark out orders and people would blindly follow what he wanted done. There's a system here. He doesn't understand the system. And it's sad because the country has never been more divisive.
And the conversation continued with George Stephanopoulos and Michael Cohen.
And one of the hopes that I have out of the punishment that I've received as well as the cooperation that I have given, I will be remembered in history as helping to bring this country back together.
And we're going to move on to Cut 14, where George Stephanopoulos talking with Michael Cohen. And this is where he kind of exemplifies some of the leading questions. This is George and Cohen.
Why do you think President Trump is lashing out against you in such a personal way, daily almost now, calling you weak, calling you a liar? Is he afraid?
Seems like it. That's what he does. That's what he does.
Are you afraid of him?
It's never good to be on the wrong side of the President of the United States of America. But somehow or another, this task has now fallen onto my shoulders. And as I also stated, that I will spend the rest of my life in order to fix the mistake that I made.
And a lot of leading questions in here. And here's just an example of George Stephanopoulos leading Michael Cohen. As you may recall, Michael Cohen was led pretty well by the prosecution when he pled guilty to a number of different violations in the New York court. But here's George Stephanopoulos.
He was trying to hide what you were doing, correct?
Correct.
And he knew it was wrong?
Of course.
And he was doing that to help his election?
You have to remember at what point in time that this matter came about, 2 weeks or so before the election, post the Billy Bush comments. So, yes, he was very concerned about how this would affect the election.
To help his campaign.
To help him and the campaign.
Well, you know, if you can't get him to say it, go ahead and put the words in his mouth, George. Why not? Let's get it out. A couple of more that I just got from the transcript here. Here's a Stephanopoulos line. You lied for him for a long time. Cohen responds, more than 10 years. I mean, let's just, you know, you lied for him for a long time. All right, fabulous. And there was one other one. Stephanopoulos, he was trying to hide what you were doing, correct?
You know, make sure you answer it the way I want you to, Michael. Correct. Maybe just answer the question without correct behind it. But anyway, that's the way that interview went. Now, you know, you can look at this whole thing however you want, whichever side of the fence you want to be on. If you're a Trump supporter, it's not a big deal that there was hush money paid. And actually, the former head of the Federal Election Commission said that hush payments are not a campaign finance violation. And you can point to the John Edwards ruling in which he was not convicted when there was a similar situation, although that was actual campaign funds. And it was actually for something that happened on the campaign trail versus Donald Trump's issues, which allegedly happened 10 years ago. But depending on which side of the political spectrum you sit on, you will feel strongly one way or the other. And that's how it is these days. We're going to get into sort of a factual look at it, though, in just a little bit with James Trusty. And he's an attorney here in the Washington area and a former federal prosecutor. So we'll get a read from him on the charges and what comes next. It's all coming up Saturday Morning Update.
Life is a do-it-yourself project. All the things you're proud of in life, you've done yourself. Your education, your career, your family, even a project around the house. These bring a smile across your face and make you feel warm inside. Unfortunately, for most people, this is not the feeling they get when they think of their finances or their income. My name is Chris Coomey, host of the Do-It-Yourself Investor Show and president of your local online trading academy. We provide income education for people who want to take control of their income, their retirement, and their lifestyle. If you want more financial confidence, I invite you to join us for a free class so you can figure out if learning to become a do-it-yourself investor makes sense for you and your legacy. Call 877-304-8723. That's 877-304-TRADE or register online at freeotaclass.com. That's freeotaclass.com or call 877-304-8723.
Is your will updated? And do you have a good basic estate plan in place so your family is protected just in case? Listen this Saturday morning at 9 on WMAL to Legally Speaking, where attorney Mike Collins will answer any question you may have about wills or estate planning. That's Legally Speaking, Saturday at 9. To learn more, log on to WMAL.com and search Legally Speaking. That's WMAL.com. Search Legally Speaking. Would you like to know how to save $528 a month? That's how much the average client saved with a smart refinance from Network Capital, the name you can trust for some of the most competitive mortgage rates on the market. Tune in this Saturday at 1 to find out more. Get holiday cash, a last chance tax deduction, and pay no payments until next year. With Network Capital, you'll pay no lender fees and can close in as little as 12 business days. Learn more this Saturday at 1 on the Mortgage Radio Show from Network Capital.
Dan owed an unbelievable amount of money to the IRS.
I got behind on my taxes. It's a horrible feeling.
He was in denial.
And when I got those letters from the IRS, you wanted to act like they didn't exist.
Finally, Dan turned to Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients.
Optima got me a settlement with the IRS. These people are really people-friendly. It was every bit of a new lease on life for me.
The fast action and the great results made Dan's head spin.
I felt like I was in a dream, but it's real, and I have paperwork to prove it. They got the job done, and life is good.
For tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation.
If you're worried about what's going to happen with the IRS, stop worrying. Make the call now.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
It's 6:30 on WMAL, and we'll take a look at some of the headlines around the globe this morning. As we mentioned, a federal judge in Texas ruling the Affordable Care Act invalid, and today is the final day for signing up for the Affordable Care Act for 2018. U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor ruling on Friday that last year's tax cut bill knocked the constitutional foundation from under Obamacare by eliminating a penalty for not having coverage. President Trump has announced Budget Director Mick Mulvaney will be his next acting chief of staff.
Trump tweeting that news on Friday that Mulvaney has done an outstanding job and his administration would take over next year. Trump deeming Mulvaney his acting chief of staff, but it was not immediately clear what that meant for the length of his tenure. Mulvaney replaces John Kelly, of course, Trump praising Kelly's service and calling him a great patriot in the tweet. The U.S. Border Patrol says a 7-year-old girl who died while she was in custody appeared to be in good health when she was first detained along a remote stretch of the U.S.-Mexico border. An intake form signed by the girl's father said she wasn't sick, wasn't sweating, and seemed mentally alert. The form was obtained by the Associated Press. Immigration officials briefing reporters say the girl's father told officials that she was sick and vomiting when they were on a bus heading to a Border Patrol station later. When they arrived, the girl wasn't breathing. Emergency personnel revived her twice. She was sent to an El Paso hospital via helicopter at 7:40 a.m., but died later on in the day. An autopsy is pending. Paris police say that 21 people have been detained in the French capital before protests by the Yellow Vests movement. Thousands of police and other members of these security forces have been deployed in Paris for the fifth straight weekend of demonstrations, the government calling for calm after previous protests turned violent. And the special counsel's office is pushing back at the suggestion that the FBI has acted improperly in its interview of the former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Flynn's lawyer said in a sentencing memorandum this week that Flynn was not warned during his interview with the FBI that it was a crime to lie to federal agents. But prosecutors with Special Counsel Mueller's office say that Flynn had lied to the White House about his contacts with the Russian ambassador well before the January 2017 interview and merely repeated the same falsehoods when he approached by the FBI. Flynn is expected to be sentenced next week for lying to the FBI. 6:32, we'll check traffic and weather on WMAL. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
We still have some accident activity westbound on 66 at the Fairfax County Parkway in the left lane, but that's not causing any delay at this time. The earlier accident 95 southbound in Springfield has been cleared, and the earlier incident southbound 270 at Montrose Road, that cleared as well. And the volume of traffic remains light on 270 from Frederick headed towards Germantown and the Beltway. DC 295 southbound, the accident activity cleared at Pennsylvania Avenue, and the delays have eased. Otherwise, no delays or problems to report on the area roadways at this time. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, we do have heavy rain around the Washington area. A flood watch in effect this morning. We'll have a high of 52 today. The rain continues into Sunday with a high of 47. Sunshine back on Monday, high of 50. Tuesday, sunny, high 42. Wednesday, partly cloudy, high 46. Right now in Washington, 49, heading up to 52, and it's 6:33 on the Saturday morning update.
Are you using insurance to protect your family? Remember, your insurance needs will change with every change in your finances, especially if you add new assets or take on new debt. This is Simon Hamilton, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show. A good financial advisor can help you with your entire financial plan, including insurance. Give us a call today and learn how we can work with you.
To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
Hey friends, it's Eric Stewart from the Eric Stewart Shows here on WMAL for the past 15 years. And recently, I've heard a lot of ads from other realtors guaranteeing to sell your home, or they'll buy it at a price acceptable to you, or make up the difference, or something like that. The big question I have is, why would you hire somebody who would just sell your home for what's acceptable? Don't you want exceptional? That's what we do at Long & Foster. You can find us at ericstewartgroup.com, and every Sunday morning you'll find me here at 8 a.m. on WMAL.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Great to have you with us on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jennifer Harper joins us each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Many of the pundits salivating this week over the news events with Michael Cohen and the Democrats coming in and possibly impeaching the president. But impeaching the president is not necessarily new news when you look into some of the history.
Boy, you got that right. I mean, really, the news media and lots of our pundit friends are totally obsessed with the idea. And I decided to see how long this practice has been going on, and I did a study to try to find out when the word impeachment was first mentioned with President Trump. And here it is. The news media was talking about impeaching President Trump before he was even named the GOP nominee. How about that? So the I word has been floated around for quite some time. And here is just one headline I will cite for you. It comes from Politico. They said, could Trump be impeached shortly after he takes office? Impeachment is already on the lips of pundits, newspaper editorials, constitutional scholars, and even a few members of Congress. Now, that report was published on April 17, 2016, and Mr. Trump only became the official GOP nominee on July 19th of that year. So that will kind of tell you how long impeachment has just been lingering in the consciousness of the news media, for better or worse. But also you have to look at the fact as to whether or not impeachment and all this talk and hysteria over it is actually good for the Democratic Party, and there are some people who are saying, no, it is not. And one of those people is Mark Penn, and he is kind of reemerged as a Democratic analyst, and you might remember that he was a chief strategist for Bill Clinton's 1996 campaign, Rick. And he said, if the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, then perhaps the Democrats on a crusade to impeach President Trump should think twice about the road they are heading down. And his point was, and I think he's very right in this, is that voters are kind of weary of all this, and they are really looking forward to actual legislation. Mr. Penn makes that point. He says that the public is interested in health care, immigration, infrastructure, and all the other important legislation, and they don't want to see that fall short to the impeachment process that no one can really get over. And kind of last but not least, I've got a poll for you. Always got a poll. And this is actually coming from CNN, and it was issued on Thursday. And here, just in a few words or less, what they found out, 50% of Americans now say that President Trump should not be impeached or removed from office. Again, I repeat, that's a majority now. 50% say Trump should not be impeached, and that includes 91% of Republicans, of course, 55% of independents, and 12% of Democrats. And the CNN made a big point that the independents, that their feelings, warming feelings about Trump and the impeachment process and all that other stuff, that their numbers are going up there. So they say that the independents are making a difference. So that's your impeachment report for early this morning.
Well, of course, impeachment, a Democratic issue, and how about that wall?
Yeah, how about that wall? My gosh. The wall is kind of a political melodrama at this point, and I think the best thing to do when we think about the wall is to just look at the numbers when things get really complicated. Only this week, now House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, when he was appearing on Fox News, he revealed some federal numbers here, and he told Mark Levin that 10 known terrorists are captured each day trying to breach the border. That's each day, 10 known terrorists. Let's move over to U.S. Customs and Border Protections. They also informed Congress this week that 3,029 people were apprehended in one day during this month, and they call this a crisis. And meanwhile, 21% of all potential migrants in the world, that's 158 million people, would like to come to America to live. Now, that is coming from Gallup, and they did a huge analysis in 52 countries. That's where they came up with that number. And they also said that the United States remains the number one destination for all immigrants around the world, or migrants, whatever you want to call it, and they have been for a decade. And we also have to move over to sort of the political realm, and this was a point made by Rush Limbaugh this week. I thought it was pretty significant. He said that, you know, you have Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and they're completely calling against the wall for moral reasons and so forth. And Rush Limbaugh points out, well, gee, they have walls around their houses, don't they? And he points out that a lot of people that don't like the wall put walls around their houses. But all of that aside, he said that the Democrats are really nervous about the wall because it works. It does keep people out, and certainly we find evidence of that in Israel and other nations. And Mr. Limbaugh's point was that he said the wall is the single greatest obstruction to the future of the Democratic Party. They do not want a wall. They will not support a wall. A wall would bring about the end of the Democratic Party. They'll argue about money, government shutdowns, etc., but they can't survive as a party if that wall is ever built. That's their permanent underclass that would not be permitted to enter the country, and his point being that they view them as future voters. And one last thing about the wall, Rick. There's also been talk about Nancy Pelosi in particular with her ideas that the wall is immoral. Apparently she has said this several times. And a very smart guy, that's CNS.com editor-in-chief Terrence P. Jeffrey, he points this out. He says, Pelosi claims that a wall is an immoral means of achieving that morally justified end. And his point here, and gosh, we're getting philosophical awfully early in the morning, he says, ultimately, however, there are only two ways to stop people, drugs and other contraband from illegally crossing the border. You can stop them by building an impenetrable structure and prevent them from crossing, or you can stop them by sending out Border Patrol officers to confront them when they do. And his point is, which of these means is less likely to result in harm to human beings? So that's how complicated the wall thing is getting, Rick. Very complicated.
Pundits have spent a lot of time recently talking about 2020 contenders. Now, we've heard about the Democrats, the progressives. We've heard about John Kasich, probably some Republican contenders as possibilities. But you have a story on an unlikely duo.
Oh, my gosh, yes, this is an unlikely duo. I put this in Beltway this week, and everybody got all either their hair stood on end or they laughed out loud. But anyway, there has been a call to create a unity ticket. Now, that's sort of an interesting idea, meaning people from sort of both parties running in 2020. Let's see what happens. Well, here's what has come up. Here's the duo that has come up. And that is, bring out the drum roll, former Vice President Joe Biden, running for president, and Mitt Romney as his vice president. And this is coming from Juliana Glover, and she's been around for quite a while. Now, she's doing op-eds and so forth, and she worked as an advisor to George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, the late John McCain, Jeb Bush, Rudy Giuliani, and she's now serving on the Biden Institute Policy Advisor Boards. Here's what she says. Biden should run on a unity ticket with Mitt Romney. It could totally work. Here's what Biden should do next. Pick a Republican running mate in a trans-party third-party run for the White House. And should Trump run again, this could be a, quote, break-the-glass moment for many Americans, creating an opportunity for a radical departure from our malfunctioning two-party political system. And Ms. Glover wrote this for Politico. And she said, Biden could run as the major third-party candidate with a principled conservative by his side. So that Romney-Biden 2020, who knows, there may already be a bumper sticker out there. But, of course, we get a lot of interesting reports on Romney himself. You know, he'll be taking the reins pretty soon, and he's reported to be poised to actually cooperate with President Trump. He wants to get on some of the more high-profile committees, such as the Finance, Commerce, and Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And also, outgoing Speaker Paul Ryan declared that he could be the Republican standard bearer. So, there you go. Romney, Biden, 2020, who knows?
All right. Jennifer Harper, inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. You can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. And coming up next, we're going to talk with James Trusty. You've seen him on Fox a lot recently, former DOJ chief of the organized crime section. Obviously knows the ins and outs of what's going on with campaign finance law violations and other vulnerabilities that the president may be facing now. We will talk to him next on the Saturday Morning Update. First off, though, a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
We are getting word of an accident now on the inner loop of the Beltway near New Hampshire Avenue. We'll keep you posted on that. Could be causing some problems there. We still also have accident activity westbound on 66 at the Fairfax County Parkway. It's still blocking the left lane, not causing any delays. Traveling on 95, all earlier problems in Springfield cleared away. We do have road construction scheduled southbound before the Route 17 Warrington Road exit in the left lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
And for today, it looks like rain with a high of 52. Rain tomorrow, high 47. Sunshine back in the picture with a high of 50 degrees. Tuesday looks sunny with a high 42. Some clouds Wednesday, high of 46. And relatively balmy temperatures overnight. We're not back down to freezing again until Tuesday night. In Washington right now, we're looking at 50 degrees, headed to 52 this afternoon. And we're now at 6:46. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and we have seen the news all week long about Michael Cohen, Michael Flynn. Is there possibly a campaign finance violation? Well, we're joined by James Trusty. He is a former federal prosecutor, most recently the chief of the organized crime section at the U.S. Department of Justice, also served in the DOJ's criminal division, and prosecuted a wide variety of cases here in the Washington area as assistant U.S. attorney. He's now in private practice here in the Washington area at IFRA Law. James, it's great to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, at week's end, help us to understand what the vulnerabilities are right now for the president. I want to cut through the pundits' partisan interpretations. As a prosecutor, where do you see the issue standing at week's end?
Well, uncertainty. So anybody that says they're positive where it's going, it's probably trying to sell you a bridge. But there's a couple of things that I think are noteworthy. I mean, one is that the most interesting bits of litigation that are coming up are essentially sentencings for people that were potential cooperators against the president. And so if you're representing the president, you see all these cooperators, sometimes failed cooperators, sometimes partial cooperators. But if you see them going to sentencing, that's a decent sign that they're not going to be getting on the witness stand anytime. And so you could say that that is a sign that the Mueller probe is starting to wrap up as they begin to go to sentencing on cooperators who otherwise would want to be pending their sentencing and get the full benefit of their cooperation. The big problem, I think, is it's heating up in terms of the Southern District of New York. They are certainly looking hard at campaign finance violations, not looking at Russian collusion so much, but they are looking at the campaign finance information. And I think there's kind of a couple of things that you can draw from that if you're in the White House. One is that you're not out of the woods even if the Mueller probe wraps up, which is kind of a terrifying proposition for them, I suspect, or at least annoying. And the other thing is, you know, the Mueller probe could turn into a written report that could be very dangerous as well for the White House. And what I mean by that is you could basically take the best hits of the cooperators, of the Cohens, of the Manafort's, of the Flynn's, and essentially sanitize them, put them down on paper, turn that into something that really doesn't allow you to assess credibility of witnesses like a trial would. So a report could come out of these cooperators that would at least have impeachment possibility for it, even if it doesn't mean there's a criminal prosecution.
One thing I'd like some help on, and that is that Michael Cohen pled guilty to a campaign finance violation, but that violation wasn't really litigated. Nobody defended against it in any way. It was just a prosecutor throwing it out there, and Cohen's attorneys allowed him to plead guilty. Does that really mean there was a campaign finance violation just because somebody pleads guilty?
Well, it certainly typically means that the person who pled guilty admits they did something wrong. But, you know, ethically, as an attorney, you can't plead somebody guilty if you know it's not a crime, if their conduct doesn't amount to a crime. But I do think this could be a little bit of a close call. I think the attorneys could be looking at it on a couple of tactical levels. The first thing is, if the campaign finance violation doesn't change the actual sentencing guidelines, doesn't change the exposure that Mr. Cohen has, then it's at least, as a starting point, not particularly hurtful to accept the blame for that. What's interesting there is it could make him more attractive to the prosecutors that he's essentially fulfilling what they want to see, which is a campaign finance investigation and prosecution. So in a weird way, you could see it, if it's a close call, being one where they say, you know, if we can hold our nose and get through this, we might actually increase your value as a prosecutor to the folks in Southern District of New York. Now, again, you're not supposed to plead somebody guilty to a non-crime or to something where they didn't commit the crime, but this might be a fairly gray area in terms of whether his conduct and whether his intentions meet the statute.
And when you look at his sentencing, there hasn't been much talk about his tax evasion. Most of the headlines and the way the newscasts are portraying it is that it's campaign finance violations and lying to Congress. But he's got some serious tax evasion charges that he has pled guilty to. Is that where the bulk of the sentence goes?
Well, in a white-collar sentencing, it really all comes down to what they call loss amount. That might mean unlawful profit, or it might mean, in this case, loss to the government of lost taxes. And so that really drives the sentencing guidelines. And that really was the starting point for everything with Mr. Cohen, apparently, was taxi medallions and tax evasion. The big problem for him as a cooperator is not just that he didn't talk about himself fully, which is what the sentencing memo says about him, but that he's starting off with crimes that are very impeachable, crimes that show that you've got a dishonest character. And so a sentencing memo that's, I think, 17 pages long basically has paragraph after paragraph detailing how he's a dishonest person, and it all starts with the tax evasion.
If it comes out that Michael Cohen, as Donald Trump's attorney, didn't tell him that he was about to commit a campaign finance violation, and even if Donald Trump at the time directed him to make a payment, but Michael Cohen didn't say, whoa, 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 you're directing me to do something illegal and make an illegal campaign contribution. If the lawyer doesn't tell the client that at the time, does that give the client a defense?
Well, it helps him. It may not be a complete defense. There's other ways to try to prove willfulness or to try to prove the president's knowledge than just simply what happens when he had communications with Mr. Cohen. But in the white-collar setting, a lot of times advice of counsel is a defense. And so if you have a situation where you do something that's ultimately unlawful, but your lawyer said it was okay, which is a little different shade of what we're talking about, that can defeat specific intent. So similarly, if, you know, he went through Cohen and there's going to be testimony somehow that Cohen did not give him any sort of warning or heads up, then that's at least helpful to the president, but not bulletproof.
Depending on what network you may have watched or listened to this week, you've probably heard various interpretations and definition of what a violation of a campaign finance law actually is. If you could help to clarify that. And also, some have said that if the president had made similar hush payments in the past, then there is somewhat of a precedent, and this may not be a campaign finance violation because it was something that he has done in the past and includes other reasons for doing it.
Well, campaign finance violations require a specific intent or willfulness. So they have a very high level of intent that has to be proven by the government to make its case. And what's interesting in that setting, and they're very thorny, complex laws with a lot of different interpretations, but what's kind of interesting is there are some folks that read these laws to say that you must have an exclusive intent, that the only thing you can be intending at the time of making what's an otherwise lawful agreement, a non-disclosure agreement, is that you're trying to do it to support your campaign or defend your campaign. The reality is, although it's spectacularly unsympathetic or ugly on some level, if you've been in a pattern of making non-disclosure agreements, if you've been paying off people to be quiet, because it embarrasses you, because it hurts your business, because it hurts your family relationship. If any of those are in play at all, that could defeat the campaign violation entirely, because you have to have a pure intent relating to politics as opposed to those other motivations.
A lot of questions at week's end about the handling of the questioning of General Michael Flynn at the time and the tactics used, some of the comments that James Comey made earlier in the week about it. U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan ordered the Mueller team to turn over all documents related to Flynn's questioning just days before he's to be sentenced on Tuesday. What stands out to you, if anything, about revelations in how that was handled?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that are interesting. I mean, one is that the FBI demonstrably took different approaches with different witnesses when it comes to false statements. In some instances, they made a point of telling the witness, hey, if you lie to us, it's a violation of federal law. In Flynn's case, they made the opposite decision. So that's one thing that I think as a defense attorney that you focus on. Well, how is he treated differently than others? Does that lead me to file some sort of motion? Does that lead me to have a lot to say at sentencing? And I think that's what's going on from their perspective. They also can look at, you know, the characters that are involved. You've got Comey with all the controversy surrounding him bragging that, you know, we were able to get the agents over to see Flynn because of the chaos in the administration. You've got McCabe softballing whether he needs an attorney, whether Flynn needs an attorney. And then you've got Agent Strzok and another agent coming over there, not seeing anything that made them think he was lying from his physical demeanor, but basically getting him to ultimately make a false statement or repeat a false statement. So all of that lends itself to potential litigation from the defense side. What's interesting here is Judge Sullivan asked for those documents to come to him. So Judge Sullivan, getting ready for Tuesday, is really possibly getting ready to wade into a pretty serious issue about whether the FBI and DOJ are treating Mr. Flynn different than similarly situated defendants. Tuesday can be really interesting.
Fascinating information. James Trusty, former chief of the organized crime section of the U.S. DOJ, and now in private practice here in Washington at IFRA Law. James, thanks so much.
Sure. Thank you, Rick.
6:56 now. It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. We're going to have the news coming up at 7 o'clock and then an action-packed 7 o'clock hour. We'll tell you about it in a minute.
My name is Conrad Chan. I do imaging informatics and cybersecurity. And I tell everybody I'm a University of Maryland University College graduate. Professors at UMUC are very knowledgeable. They work in the industry. Because I got a degree from UMUC, I got promotions that helped me move up in the world and earn more for my family.
Earn your degree online from a respected state university designated by the NSA and DHS as a center of academic excellence in information assurance. Unlock your potential at University of Maryland University College, made for you. Get started fulfilling your dreams. Earn a graduate degree or certificate with University of Maryland University College. Plus, if you apply for your graduate degree, certificate, or doctorate before December 16th, we'll waive your application fee. Visit umuc.edu/radio. That's umuc.edu/radio. Certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Christmas is here, you guys, but that sagging jawline and double chin don't have to be a part of the celebration this year. Now you can just make them disappear. Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, introducing the brand new Genucel jawline treatment with dual peptide and MDL technology. It's Chamonix's most advanced technology ever. Not only tightens the saggy jawline, but it also plumps the lipophilic layers of your skin to contour and define the jawline within minutes. Using peptides and metallactones together for the first time, it works incredibly fast, and the results get better every day. And for one more week, the Genucel jawline treatment is yours absolutely free when you order the Genucel for under eye bags and puffiness. And for results in 12 hours, Genucel's immediate effects is also free when you call or click now. 800-525-2720 or go to Genucel.com. End this year on a high note with beautiful skin, no bags and puffiness, and a tighter, higher jawline. Call or click now. 800-525-2720, 800-525-2720, or Genucel.com. Genucel.com. That's Genucel.com.
How much do you need to save for retirement? Hi, I'm Rick Edelman, founder of Edelman Financial Engines. The question's simple, but the calculation can be complex. How much you need to save for retirement depends on how much income you want, what outside sources you'll have, like Social Security and pensions. And here's the good news. You don't have to guess. We can give you the answer. For more than 32 years, we've shown people just like you how much you need to save for retirement and how to invest it. And now's your chance. Call us for the personal financial advice and investment management services you need with local offices to serve you. At Edelman Financial Engines, we're happy to help you whether you have a little to invest or a lot or anything in between. Come see why thousands of folks just like you rely on Edelman Financial Engines. Call us at 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com.
7 o'clock news coming up next with Win Delano. Then we're back with John Gizzi. We're going to ask John about Mick Mulvaney. You'll find out everything you need to know about him. There's a hotly contested race in North Carolina, a congressional race that involves allegations of fraud. We'll get the very latest on what's going on there. Senate, non-binding resolution about Saudi Arabia. What does that mean politically? And we'll find out what it means from a security standpoint when we talk to Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer later on. And we're also going to ask Tony about James Comey, also the Mueller probe, many things going on with General Flynn. We'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer about that. And also, we will get a read from Cheryl Atkinson on James Comey. That's all coming up. Stay with us on WNAL.
WMAL FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
Hear every Redskins game on 105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL, a Cumulus station.